The Activities Committee of Bethany Baptist Church, along with Anchored in Jesus Ministries, are sponsoring a trip to see Jesus, a musical stage adventure at the Sight and Sound Theater. This is also considered a fundraiser opportunity for Anchored in Jesus Ministries.
We will leave Bethany Baptist Church at 7 a.m. on July 27, 2018, and will return about 9 p.m. the same day.
A down payment of $25 is due by January 14, 2018, and your check should be made payable to Bethany Baptist Church with Jesus in the memo line. A payment schedule for additional payments will be released soon. The total amount of the trip will be $150.
This does not include the cost of lunch, but additional information will follow in the coming weeks.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze would conclude his message titled, How to Handle Problems. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Handle Problems.
A little smoke began to start coming up. So now we're on this elevator, right? I was looking at a couple people, they just was quiet. Now, you know, some people are claustrophobic, right? So, you know, there might have been some claustrophobic people on there, but they was quiet. They was quiet. And, a couple people was, talking and, trying to encourage other people, lift their spirits up. And I said, okay, nothing. Think of, I'm not trying to scare anybody, right? Now, I'm really not trying to scare anybody. But just think of all the bad things that can happen on the elevator. I mean, really think about it. Now, you standing there with this elevator stop, right? And all these things start coming through you to your mind, right? So I said, Saints, let's pray. Let's pray. And we prayed, all right? Then I said, let's sing. Let's sing a song. Let's sing This Is the Day. This is the day. You know, we started singing. Man, we was having a good time. And then all of a sudden, there was a knock on the door. I think it was Deacon Booker. He said, is anybody in there? We said, yeah, we're in there. Call the fire department. And we just worshiped the Lord. And before we knew it, the firemen were knocking at the door. And they were out there for a little bit, and finally they got the door opened, and I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, I was never so glad in my life to get off an elevator. I was never so glad in my life to get off an elevator. And, we came up, and everybody out of the building. I didn't know all that was going on out there. But I just thought about, when you get in situations like that, whatever's in you is going to come out of you. It's going to come out of you. And so that's why, we look at this proverb, and it says that the true test of one's strength is adversity. That if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. If I didn't have a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. And so that leads us to my third point today, which is preparation. It is the wise person who prepares for the day of adversity. So within this verse is embedded a nugget of wisdom. And the nugget of wisdom says that the one who prepares for the day of adversity will be able to stand tall when it comes. That the one who prepares for the day of adversity will be able to stand tall when it comes. As I was studying for the message, I came across something in the pulpit commentary that I wanted to share. And usually I don't like to put a bunch of text up there, but this was as I was reading this and meditating on this, it was just so good that I said, let me share this. Strength is wanted for the day of adversity. This will be a time of assault, strain, and pressure. And can I get an amen? Amen. Adversity is a time of assault, strain, and pressure. The soul will then be besieged, buffeted, and in danger of being crushed. Wow. Therefore, there is need of sufficient strength, not only for prosperous times, but for this harder occasion. The lighthouse must not only be strong enough to stand in calm weather, it should be able to resist the battering rams of the tempest. The ship must be built for the storm. The army that can look smart in a review is useless if it goes to pieces on the battlefield, on the field of battle. The model navy, an extravagant ornament if it will not serve us in action. The lamp is useless if it goes out in the hour of darkness. Religion is for the time and trial of temptation. The spiritual life needs to be strong enough to hold on through terror, temptation, trouble, or it is a delusion. Or it is a delusion. Wow, wow. So I thought that I would just real quick break that down with three examples. If you go, the first example, what did he say? He said, the lighthouse is no good if it only lights up on good days. It has to be able to withstand the storm and the waves. And so when adversity comes our way, we might need to be like the lighthouse. Think back to the lighthouse. When you go through trouble, think through the lighthouse. And say that Psalm 61, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Think of the lighthouse, as the pulpit commentary says. It's just not good on the good days, but it's got to be good on the bad days. It's got to be able to withstand adversity. The next one, he talked about the army. You got to be built for battle. Oh, yeah. You got to be built for battle. You got to be a soldier. In 2 Timothy 2:2, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You got to soldier up when adversity comes. A lot of times the enemy comes in the form of adversity, and he overruns us, and he causes us to retreat. But when adversity comes, we got to soldier up. You know, oftentimes, when I'm tempted to make the soft choice, when I'm tempted to make the easy choice, my mind goes back to this verse right here, and I say to myself, Bill, you got to endure hardness. Hey! You got to endure hardness. It's easy to make soft choices. It's easy to make the choice that don't cause us any resistance. It's easy to make the choice where we can go down the path where the road is paved and the lined with flowers. It's easy to make that choice. But sometimes we find ourselves in adversity. And when we find ourselves in adversity, you know one thing that blows my mind is I talk to guys, and maybe some of you guys have experienced this that have been in the service. But and I know I was talking to my son who's in the military, and he said that he has experienced this. But can you imagine, like, the armies that were in Siberia, and that, you know, all these guys had was a tent and a sleeping bag. Any brother experienced that? So, okay, we got some hands going up. So we got some brothers here that have experienced that. Out in the freezing sub-temperature weather, and you in a tent and a sleeping bag. And you know what? You got to endure hardness, man. That's hardness. Whoa. I can't even imagine doing that. Man, give me my bed with my quilt, my two pillows, my pajamas. Man, these brothers endured hardness. And that's what Paul was saying, that sometimes when we go through adversity, we got to soldier up and we got to endure hardness. And then the third image that the pulpit commentary brought out, and I had to put the scripture in there, but it's Matthew 5, you all know it, 14 through 15, about being a light in darkness. So what is darkness? What is dark? Darkness is adversity. Adversity. And it says that when adversity comes, that you still got to let your light shine in the darkness. You can't let your candle, you can't let your light be put out. Or you can't hide it under a bushel. You got to let your light shine in the midst of adversity. That when people see you going through stuff, they should still see the light of Christ shining through you. They should look at you and say, wow, how in the world does he or she do that? Because they see that light of Christ still shining through you. So I put up those images. Hopefully those images will stick in your mind the next time you go through adversity, that you'll think of the lighthouse, you'll think of the soldier, and you'll think of the light. And that you might choose one of those images that you will allow to motivate you through that time of adversity. That you might say, I got to stand tall like the lighthouse and not let these waves beat and sweep me away. Though the storms keep on raging in my life. And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still that hope that lies within is reassured. As I cast my eyes upon that distant shore, I know he will bring me through. But if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Oh, the billows may roll, the breakers may dash, but I shall not sway because he holds me fast. So dark today, clouds in the sky, I know it's all right because my Jesus is mine. My soul has been anchored in the Lord. The lighthouse, the soldier, and the light. Helps us deal with adversity. So as I wrap things up, when going through adversity, when I find myself in the throes of adversity, what are some things that I need to remember? Well, there are three things that I need to remember when going through adversity. First of all, I need to look for God in it. That in the midst of adversity, man, I got financial problems. I got relationship problems. I got health problems. I got all kinds of problems. God, where are you at? You know, Job, when he was going through his problems, he put out an APB on God. He said, where is he that I might find him? Where can I go that I might come into his presence? And so when you go through adversity, you got to look for God in it. You got to ask God, how can I draw closer to you, Lord, in the midst of this? Because what is Satan doing? Satan is bringing adversity in your life to separate you from God. You should allow adversity to drive you into the presence of the Almighty God. What does adversity do? Does it separate you from God? Or does it force you to go into his presence? When you go through a time of adversity, you got to see God in it. The second thing, you got to see the good in it. What lessons can I learn from this? I think so many of God's people waste trials that they go through. They go through trials and they moan and complain and they look for ways to try to get out of the trial instead of first trying to see, Lord, what lesson is in this for me? What can I learn in this trial? What can I learn about myself? What can I learn about you? What can I learn about others in this trial? We got to see God in it. We got to see the good in it. And then we got to see the goal in it. You know, what's going to be the end result? You know, that when I come through this trial, that I ought to be a lot stronger. That when I come through this trial, Job said, he knows the way that I take. And when I've tried, I shall come forth like gold. That on the other end of it, when I come through, that I want to come through like gold, purified in the fire. Ask yourself these questions. Next time, some of you are going through something right now. You're going through adversity right now. You need to ask these three things. Or say, look for God in it. Look for the good in it. And look for the goal in it. That's how you handle adversity. And then whatever else comes, you can deal with. But you need to have the right perspective on things. And the reason so many people's problems overwhelm them is because they don't have the right perspective. They got the world's perspective. The world, what is the world? As soon as pressure comes, the world tries to bail. Y'all remember a guy told me one time, he said, when the ship starts to sink, the rats are the first to jump. So you don't want to be a rat. You know, so hang in there and deal with adversity. Don't deal with it the world's way, but deal with it the way that God wants you to. And then I want to talk about this preparation aspect, the preparation. So how can we be prepared for adversity before it comes? How can we be prepared? Now, again, there's a whole lot of things that could have been said, but I tried to boil it down to these four. The first one is spend time with God on a regular basis. I mean, you know, you just said, I knew he was going to say that. Well, what else you expect me to say? You know, spend time in his word, spend time prayer, spend time worshiping him. Because look what Nehemiah said. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That when I'm rooted and grounded in a relationship with God, that there's strength that flows from that relationship. And it's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. The second thing, James said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Now, see, let me give you some advice. Now, hopefully, I'm going to help somebody out here with this. James said, count it all joy. Now, he didn't say be happy because of what's happening to you. So he didn't say that. So he said, count it all joy. He said, still maintain your joy. Now, you know how you handle adversity? You know how you get prepared for adversity? Watch this. That when the little things happen, when I can't find my keys, and then I get an attitude, I get mad, I get frustrated, and I get worried. Hey, count it all joy. They're around here somewhere. I don't know. I don't know very many people. Or I don't know very many people. Now, because I'm not going to say all, because somebody will raise their hand and say, well, I was one. So I'm not going to say all. But I don't know very many people that have lost their keys and didn't eventually find them. I didn't get too many amens then. I know I've lost mine, and I got them now. They're right there, right? So you find, I got to count that joy. So when I burn my food, I got to count it joy. I'm not happy, man. Now you mean to tell I got to get another meal all over again? No, I count it joy. Right? I mean, what you going to do? You know, you go back to the other thing, learn the lesson from it, whatever. But see, what I'm trying to say is if you get in the habit of counting the little things joy as they happen in your life every day, then guess what's going to happen when the big day of adversity comes? You're already in the pattern. You're already there. You don't have to get there. You're already there. But we, man, like I said, we go through things every day, and we get up and we say, my life is yielded to God. God is in my life. God is first place in my life. I'm committed to, we talk all that stuff. And the minute something little happens, we're complaining, we're worried, we're anxious. He said, count it joy. Count it joy when these little things happen to you, because then you'll be ready to deal with the big things. Develop close relationships with godly people. Proverbs 17:17. A friend is born for adversity. Wow. Now, it might be your husband, it might be your wife, but you need to have a godly person in your life. And that when you go through these troubling times and you go through these times of adversity, that there's somebody there. Now, God, we know we got God, and somebody said, well, I got God, that's all I need. Well, yeah, that's true. I'm not going to deny that. That's true. But it sure is good that when you're on a long journey, to have a rider riding with you. It sure is good to have somebody to be able to talk with about what's going on in your life. And the writer of Proverbs said, a brother is born for adversity. And then finally, grow in patience. Grow in patience. And again, how do we grow in patience? And you know, I heard somebody, and you all heard this before, so this is nothing new. You've heard this before. Somebody said that when you want patience and you ask God for patience, you know what your exact prayer is? God, send me trouble in the morning, send me trouble in the afternoon, and send me trouble in the evening. So you ever see the commercials where one guy's talking and then the other guy's telling what he said, right? So whenever you pray, Lord, give me patience. The Holy Spirit says, give them problems in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Why? Because that's the only way your patience is going to grow. And as I think of Hebrews 10:36, he said that you have need of patience. And I broke down this word before, but the Greek word is hupomenes. Comes from two Greek words, huper, which means under, and meno, which means to abide. What does patience mean? It means to abide underneath the load. That when adversity is stacked up on your back, uptown problems, downtown problems, crosstown problems, midtown problems, when they are loaded on your back, that you're still able to stand underneath the load. And that's what patience is. So you grow. Notice I didn't say ask God for patience. You grow in patience. And the only way you grow in patience is through the little things that come in your life every day. And they make you patient. They give you patience. And if you will do these things, you will be prepared. I can almost guarantee that if you do them from the heart and you do them in sincerity, that you will be prepared to deal with adversity when it comes your way. There was a judge who was annoyed by a lawyer who used to make sneering remarks and use abusive language. As the lawyer would do that in the judge's court, the judge would just smile and put his pencil and kind of tap it on his lip. People wondered how this judge could be so patient. They thought that you ought to go off on this guy. You ought to put him in his place. But the judge just kept on with patience and kept on enduring. The judge was at a dinner party one evening, and somebody, one of the guests, asked him, how come you never do anything about this lawyer? And the judge, who was eating, he laid his fork down, and he said, up in our town, there lives a widow. And she has a dog, and whenever that dog sees a full moon, he just barks, and he just barks, and he just barks all night. And the judge went back to eating. And some time went on. And somebody asked him, well, what about the dog in the moon? And the judge said, the moon just keeps on smiling. The moon just keeps on smiling. See, when we're ready and we're prepared for adversity, the dogs of adversity might bark, but the light of the moon, the light of the sun, the light of the Father will continue to shine in us. And though adversity barks all around us, you still keep shining.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time as Dr. Glaze continues to anchor your soul in Jesus. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How to Handle Problems, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Handle Problems. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Handle Problems. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.